When the Davis School District decided to remove a picture book telling the story of a family with two moms from its library shelves, it was personal for my next guest this morning, Weston Clark. That's because Clark's own son is being raised by two dads, he and his partner Brandon. But that's not the only reason this issue hits home for him. He's also a graduate and former teacher in the Davis School District. He joins me now in the studio to discuss what the district's decision to remove In Our Mother's House from the shelves means to him and what he would like to see done about it. And Weston, good to have you in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, join us on the air with your questions and comments on this issue. What do you think of the school district's decision to pull this book and require parental permission for students to check it out? Our number is 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. Well, Weston, to start off, give us a reminder what this book, In Our Mother's House, is about exactly.
It's essentially a book about two mothers who adopted three children of different races, and basically growing up together and spending family time together, sharing holiday time together. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it.
What do you think is the advantage of students being able to read this book in young children or older children in particular?
Well, I think it has many purposes. One is that it's validating. It's validating to students who might be in the same type of family. It's also, I think, shows students or children who may not be in that type of family that type of family exists and that they are normal and that there's nothing scary about them.
So how did you learn that this book had been pulled off the shelves? Was it simply from watching the news, or did you hear from somebody in Davis County?
Yeah, it was simply from watching the news, which was apparently months after the process started. And that's something that's been kind of interesting through the process is we've learned that, it was a very quiet process from the beginning. I believe it started in January where the petition started. Even the Davis School District's Equity Committee, which is charged with, looking at issues like this, didn't even know about it until it hit the press. So, it was, I believe that there was an attempt to keep it as quiet as possible from the beginning.
What was your immediate reaction when you learned the book had been pulled?
Well, I think living in Utah, I think there's a lot of eye rolling that happens when you see something like this happen. But, it really hit home, as you stated in the introduction. It's personal to me. I also have a lot of nieces and nephews who are going or will be going to public school in Davis School District. I may one day have a job again in Davis School District if I choose to go back to work. And, I don't want them, my family is very accepting and has done a great job of making my family very much an equal part of my larger family. And I don't want them to in any way think that my family is less than theirs or that we're different for my sake, for their sake, and for my son's sake.
And so you mentioned the eye rolling. Davis County is a pretty conservative place. It's represented only by Republicans in the legislature, I believe. Were you all that surprised by the news?
No, I don't think I was. I think the eye rolling shows that I expect some of the things like this. But as I said, Davis School District, Davis County, has a special place in my heart, and I really do believe that the people are better than this there, and that this is just a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding. And what concerns me about it being such a quiet process from the beginning is, had we been able to have more of a community discussion about this from the beginning, I think there may have been a different decision made. But there's so much fear about what's going to happen and what's going to be said and those sorts of things. And it doesn't have to be combative or mean. It's a community dialogue where we learn about our neighbors and learn about each other's families and learn that there's nothing scary or inappropriate about anybody's family.
We're speaking with Weston Clark about Davis School District and its recent decision to pull the picture book In Our Mother's House from the shelves and require students to have parental permission to check it out. You can join us on the air with your opinions on this matter, 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. You can also send your tweets to us on at KCPW. Tell me about your experience with Davis School District, Weston, both as a student and then later coming back as a teacher.
I had a great experience going to Orchard Elementary and South Davis Junior High School and Woods Cross High School, all in Davis School District. And you know, it was as growing up gay, it was had the normal difficulties that it has for, you know, anybody across the country. Mm-hmm. You know, we had some particular incident, you know, it was a different time. It amazes me how different times are from back then to today. Mm-hmm. You know, we had an incident that I've mentioned to a lot of people that it was right during the Gay Straight Alliance stuff that was coming out. And we also had this huge drug bust at Woods Cross High School where a lot of students were arrested. And the student body president got up at an assembly and made the comment, at least we don't have gays at our school. Tough. And, you know, obviously that's completely false. And as we've distanced our time from high school, it was not only false in my case, but many other students' cases. And that's, you know, and that's the thing that we have to understand is that decisions like this aren't affecting LGBT families. They're affecting people, they're affecting students who might be gay or might be questioning that they're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. And I think that that is those, we need to understand that these decisions are very serious. And, you know, my, you know, if I was in Davis School District and my son was going to Davis School District schools, it's just, it's not fair to him. You know, hate me all you want. You know, I wish you wouldn't, but if that's what you choose to do, if you choose to fill your life with hate and hate me for who I am, then that's great. But what about my son? He had no choice in the matter. You know, we adopted him and I think we're providing him with an amazing childhood, an amazing life. But he's the real victim of this. And the other students, the students who might be LGBT in Davis School District, they're the real victims. I mean, this is bigger than a book. And they and I don't know that everybody understands that. This is setting aside a group of people. You know, I got some people give me a hard time for using the word segregation on Twitter. But that's exactly what it is. We're setting aside a group of people, putting them behind the counter, and requiring people who might be interested in that, reading about this, these families, are going to have to go through a special process to have that access. And that's, you know, completely inappropriate and harkens back to times we like to forget in this country.
Well, let's focus on that a little bit more, because I'm sure the response of the school district is the book is still available and that parents should have as much a choice as possible in what their children read. So if, as long as they give their permission, then students can check it out. Why is that not a valid argument from your perspective?
Well, and like I just said, I mean, it's requiring a special process. I mean, I can't imagine that an elementary school student would actually go to their parent and say, "Mom, Dad, or Dad, I want to get this book. I know where it is. It's behind the librarian's desk. So I'm going to go get. I need a parental slip, and then I'm going to go get this book." I mean, can you imagine a student actually doing that? And if they did, to have to go to the librarian and ask for it, I think is in that sort of environment, the scrutiny that they would bear would be crazy. I also want to mention one other thing. In doing the research for this, I came across the Library Media Policy Manual for Davis School District. And in that policy manual, they adopted this section that's called the Freedom to Read. And it has some bullet points, and I really suggest everybody look it up because it's pretty amazing. It's pretty powerful. And it talks about the responsibility that librarians have in a community have with a library and how important having free access to information and different ideas are. One of the bullets is, "It is in the public interest for publishers and librarians to make available the widest diversity of views and expressions, including those which are unorthodox or unpopular with the majority." Another one says, and this one's right to your question, "It is not in the public interest to force a reader to accept with any book the prejudgment of a label characterizing the book or author as subversive or dangerous." And that's exactly what they're doing. By putting it behind the counter and requiring a parental slip, they are prejudging a book. They're putting a label on a book that a reader should not have to go through in order to read those ideas.
This is Politics Up Close. We're speaking with Weston Clark. He is a father here in Salt Lake City, former teacher and student in Davis School District. We're talking about the district's recent decision to move the In Our Mother's House book from the shelves. It's a book about a family that has two moms. Join us on the air, 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. Weston, let's step back from this issue for a minute and tell our listeners a little bit about your own family and about you and Brandon's son.
Well, he's almost 2 years old. We adopted him out of Kansas, actually, Wichita, Kansas, which is his mom still lives there, and we talk to her occasionally. And, you know, we're as exciting as I want to make that question, it's going to be a boring one because the reality is we're just like any other family. You know, Brandon goes to work. I stay home with Xander. We go to the zoo a lot. We go to the park a lot. You know, it's just like this book. There's just not... There's nothing that unusual about our family. You know, I heard the word inappropriate thrown around a lot in this process, that it's inappropriate for children, you know, they would reference smaller children, whatever, reading a book like this. And I genuinely do not understand what is inappropriate about that family, about my family. You know, you talk about the straight couple that a couple years ago, you know, I bring this up a lot, the son that was visiting from back east and, mm-hmm. and the boyfriend, you know, beat him and they left him and he died and they, you know, hit his body up in the hills. That's an inappropriate family. There's something inappropriate there. And so to place an inappropriate label, there's something much worse than inappropriate, but you know, to put an inappropriate label on it on a type of family simply because of its makeup is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's, and it's, that's inappropriate.
Can I ask, Weston, have you experienced, you and Brandon and your son, Xander, experienced only acceptance in Utah so far here in Salt Lake City or outside of Salt Lake City, or have you experienced discrimination as well?
No, you know, we've had an amazing experience outside of the legislative session. When the legislature's in session, we feel like we're constantly under attack, and that's unfortunate. But on a day-to-day basis, no, absolutely not. I mean, we surround ourselves with accepting people. We've created a great community of friends and families who accept us fully, and there's just no judgment. There's no problems. And so, you know, sometimes I get so stuck in that bubble that when I see something like this happen in Davis School District or wherever, it kind of jars me a little bit, shocks me back into reality, and I realize that we've got a lot of work to do to educate people as to what our families are. But it's such an interesting process because, like I said, I don't know what we're educating them about. It's nothing. It's just there's nothing new or interesting. We're just like any other family.
I want to take a phone call in just a second, but first, you mentioned you adopted your son from Kansas. Was that simply because it was an impossibility to adopt him here in Utah because of state law, or what exactly?
Yeah, state law in Utah does not allow for same-sex couples to adopt, and so we had to, you know, go about it in a different way. You know, I feel secure in the process that we did and that it was completely above board and legal. But, you know, I wouldn't want to lay it out too clearly because I know that my family could be under attack by the legislature. They may pick up the cause and find a way to close that loophole. You know, I'm happy to share with other LGBT families. You know, and that's the message I want to send, you know, real quick to the legislature. They sit here, they go every year and try to legislate my family and legislate my life and how we live our lives. And the reality is there's always ways around it. And we'll continue to do that, to live our lives to its fullest, no matter what they do.
We want to take a call from Sue. Sue is calling from Battleville. Hi, Sue. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted, to me, I grew up in Bountiful. My kids grew up in Bountiful. We all went to Davis County Schools. Mm-hmm. This is just heartbreaking because, to me, this, you know, the parents or the district's opinion falls down around their children, and that teaches them, like Weston says, discrimination. I mean, I will approve of you or I will approve of you. It's just, to me, it's just heartbreaking. And I went to lunch with a couple of friends from the Nevada State, and they have moved here, and they were saying that Davis County, and we weren't even discussing this matter, and they were saying that Davis County is really behind and antiquated. And that kind of hurt my feelings. And I said, no, wait a minute. I live out there, and I have most of my life, but I also lived in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And maybe that gives me a different perspective in coming back here. But I'm so with you, Weston. I just, it breaks my heart that this is happening. It really does. And if they didn't bring attention to this book, it would just, you know, go along with all the rest of the books. Don't you think?
Thank you for the call, Sue. We appreciate it very much. I imagine you identify with that, Weston.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Sue. I agree, and it's disheartening. A lot of people that I love are in Davis County, and I, like I said at the beginning, the people of Davis County are better than this. They're more accepting than this. They're more loving than this, and I don't think that this – first of all, I don't think this process in which the book was removed was even close to transparent, should have been more transparent, and I think if it were, there would be more – public scrutiny by the general public in Davis County, and I think we maybe would have had a different decision.
Sue, we appreciate your call very much. 801-355-8255 is the number. George from Salt Lake is calling. Hi, George. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I just have a comment, just, you know, a question that she probably could be able to answer. There is probably really, it's really huge. You know, she's saying, well, nobody understands how huge it is. No, it's really huge. You know, I'm very serious, too. In my case, you know, I wouldn't allow, you know, my kid to see, you know, or read a book, you know, and I will explain why they shouldn't do it. But my question will be, what is the purpose of the gay community? To convince everybody not to procreate, you know, the natural way that we work for our Creator? Because eventually, everybody's going to be judged by our Creator. So that would be the question. You know, what is the purpose of this gay community? To convince everybody not to procreate the way our Creator told us, you know, that's, you know, my basic question.
George, it sounds like you're asking about the purpose of the gay community and bringing up whether it's natural. I guess, Weston, if you could address, what is your purpose in trying to get this book put on library shelves?
You know, like most Americans, most people in this world, I think I don't know what my purpose in life is, and I continue to seek that every single day, but I think that's kind of the same thing as everybody else. You know, I think the caller said something about, you know, he wouldn't let his child read this book, and I guess I'll address that. Maybe that's something I can go for, but fine. Great. I think that's your prerogative. I think if the parent who first started this petition on this book decided that, you know, when their child brought home this book, that it was something that they didn't want to read in their family, I think that is completely fine. That's their prerogative. Mm-hmm. But to go to the effort of removing it from being an option for everybody else's family, that's the problem. You know, the caller references or makes implies that there's some sort of agenda that the LGBT community has, and we don't. Our purpose is to find acceptance and be like everybody else, and it's as simple as that. Yeah.
George, thank you for your call. Weston, in the few minutes we have left, tell me about the discussions you've had or not had with the Davis School District Board of Education. What kind of conversations have you had with their superintendent or board so far, and where do you hope those go from here?
Well, so when this happened, I decided I thought the best place to go for this was to the school board. Mm-hmm. Even though it was not a direct school board decision, it's a committee that's made up. Outlines it a little bit in the policy manual, but it's actually a very vague process. There's really no real specifics as to who's on the board. They've told us that it's private, and they won't release the names of the people that were on it or their positions. We can't even get the 25 signatures of the people who started the petition. So I think there's some real problems with that, some transparency and potentially some legal issues that I think are being pursued. When I contacted the school board, I said the reason I want to talk to the school board is I think we need to have a public discussion on this. This is something that the entire community needs to discuss, and the public school or the school board of this public school is a place where the public can do that. Mm-hmm. Talking with the superintendent, he was very cool to the idea of doing a public discussion, and he acknowledged some real fears of bringing out, you know, some nastiness on one side or both sides. Mm-hmm. And it would just be more divisive for the community, and I think there's the potential for that. I don't think it needs to be that, but that he definitely didn't want that. So, you know, in my discussions with him, we came to an agreement that maybe we could just come in and introduce our families, be as simple as that. I think we must have had a misunderstanding in there, because he then went back on that as soon as it broke in the press. I don't know if he expected us to not go to the press, but again, you know, my purpose is to make this a larger community discussion and not just a discussion with seven board members or whatever. So ultimately, I hope our discussion moves forward. I'd like to meet with them again, and have a call in so that we can have a discussion, have a meeting, and continue to move this discussion so that Davis School District can become a model of inclusiveness in the state.
We've been speaking with Weston Clark. He is a father here in Salt Lake City, talking about the Davis School District's decision to pull the book In Our Mother's House from its library shelves, a book about two moms raising their children. Weston, we appreciate your time very much. Thank you for sharing your story here on Politics Up Close.
Thanks for having me.
Politics Up Close is a production of KCBW News. Thank you to Jesse Ellis for his help with the show. And listen to podcasts of our interviews online at kcbw.org. I'm Jeff Robinson. Thanks for joining us.